The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome into the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, joined here by one Mark Immelman, one Kyle Porter from Oak Hill, and a new PGA champion has been crowned, but he's kind of an old PGA champion now, thrice for Brooks Koepka. Mark, we'll start here with you. First off, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here, and I'll tell you what, thrice is nice because did anyone ever for any time today think that Brooks was not going to win? Because it certainly felt like out there that if you had to stay, you had to stay in front of him if you wanted to win. And Victor played great, in my opinion. But Brooks, he just takes it to a different level in these things.
There might have been one moment.
What was the moment?
I think the moment where it was not a sure thing that Brooks was going to win. It was only 30 seconds. It was when Victor made the birdie putt on 13. And Brooks had a par putt from like 9 feet.
No, it was farther than that.
Which he buried. I mean,
which he snuck in. A cup grabs it on the right side.
I bet it was like 12 or 15.
Okay, so if that does not drop, they're tied going to four. That's the one moment. But he makes it, it's still a lead.
Okay, I want to add to that because that putt he made down the hill was sensational. Then he steps up there on 14. Wind is humming across from the right hand side. That green is. It's a drivable par four. It's not that drivable, okay? And he just bashes driver right into the heart of the green. I was like, okay, here we are. This is basically it.
Yeah, the driver. I thought there was like 15 minutes there where Michael Blogg made the one. You had those two putts on 13 that were, to me, kind of the. You're right. That was like the real moment of the day, and things were moving very quickly for a few minutes, which was a blast. It was a really cool moment to get kind of caught up in a major championship.
Well, we started the day with Brooks Koepka just being absolutely clinical. He played the first five holes flawlessly, and he started to separate himself from Victor Hovland. We were in studio. We were wondering if we were going to get the Vince Carter dot
we
gift.
Did.
We did. We got it then. We got
after,
it after
the fourth hole.
Really?
We got it after the fourth hole. So it got a little tighter after that. But Mark, the way he plays the first five is top-notch, gets into a little trouble at six, but kind of rights the ship very quickly.
Yes, and the way he came out, you know, as a golf instructor, something I always want to highlight to folks is how uncomfortable it feels in that place. And he looked so comfortable and hit everything on the button coming out there. The first tee shot was laced down the heart of the fairway. It's a beautiful iron in there. Two, he absolutely flushes one from the middle of the fairway, sticks it in there, makes the birdie. Three is not an easy par three whatsoever. Crosswind, tiny green, huge false front in front there. And he flags his five iron or whatever it was and makes a birdie. And I was like, here we go. And yes, he stumbled some on six. But then after taking relief and having north of 200 yards, I think it was in there, just bludgeons this eight iron onto the green, gets out with bogey. And I'm like, he has no weakness. He truly had no physical weakness today.
The trajectory that he hits these golf balls. We picked him up, what, 4 or 5 or whatever, and we brought him to the clubhouse. He hits the ball
on our shoulders.
Well, we tried, but failed. The ball never stops going up. It's like a homesick angel.
Yeah. Bravo.
These guys. We had a conversation. We had a dinner conversation earlier this week, Rick, about whose swing you would want. You know, there's some obvious ones. Adam Scott is an obvious one. So we tried to stay away from the obvious ones. And I said Brooks Koepka. Mark might disagree, probably will disagree. I don't know if it's a beautiful swing, but I love how athletic it is, how effective it is, how efficient it is. It's extraordinary. He's an unbelievable hitter of the ball. And I don't know if we have a clip of 18, but coming up 18, Rick, it reminded me of DJ in 2016 at Oakmont when he won the U.S. Open there. It was the same sort of twilight as the sun was fading. He just murders a drive with a two-stroke lead going into the last. He was up two over Scheffler, destroys a drive, hits it tight, gives himself a look at birdie. He's not even, you know, a lot of guys in that situation would play it safe, would just get it to the house, and he didn't. He just went after it and burned it down for his fifth major championship. We're going to go over the list here in a little bit of guys that have won five majors since World War II, but it's a pretty – Brooks didn't know who was on it because he was asked afterward. Right. But I do know who's on it, and it's a pretty extraordinary list.
Here's that shot into here's the approach into 18.
That's like – remember DJ in 2016 at Oakmont?
Yeah.
Yeah, DJ at 6-iron. This was basically a caressed 9-iron, I think it was, down the breeze.
And pin high all day, Mark. I mean, he played to all the right spots. He never got into too much trouble. It was, I think I used the word earlier, it was clinical.
It was clinical. And to talk about the golf swing, as an instructor, I always look for three things in a good golf swing. I look for repeatability under pressure. I look for leverage, maximum club head speed, minimum effort. And then I look for square striking. And that, hitting the ball the right distance every single time, every ball he hit came out of the guts of the club face. I mean, he flushed it the entire day. And so as a result, he was carrying bunkers in dog legs. He was hitting the ball tons in the air to bring him down softly on these greens and stuff. It was a truly, truly major championship winning worthy performance.
That list, KP, because we've got a list here. Five majors before turning 34. Tiger, Jack Sevy, Tom Watson, Gary Player, Arnold Palmer, and Brooks Koepka adds his name to that list. Now five of them, three PGAs and two U.S. Opens.
Well, within the sport, these are first-name guys only, right? Yeah. Who on this list can you not just say their first name and you know who they're talking about?
Tom. That could be old, young.
Kim.
Stop.
I think everybody knows who you're talking about. I was going to give just the, not before turning 34, but just the list of guys that have won five since World War II. Jack, it's pretty much the same thing. Jack, Tiger, Hogan, Player, Tom.
Watson.
Tom Watson, Snead, Sam. Don't know if you've heard of him.
No.
Slammin' Sammy. That's who it was.
Palmer, Lee Trevino, Nick Faldo, Phil Mickelson, Seve, and Brooks Koepka.
Every single one of those in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like first ballot, automatic, no doubters. And Brooks is now on that list, and he might not be done. We had a conversation on the 18th tee box. It's not like he's 40. He's got a lot of majors ahead of him and seems to be, forget all the physical, debilitating stuff. Mentally, he's in such a better space now than he was 1 year ago when he didn't even have a top 50 at the majors.
Yeah, I saw him smile a lot today, which I don't think I've ever seen before. Mark, we were talking about this a little bit earlier as well. You know, this is a runner-up finish at the Masters, a win at the PGA Championship. I think he's going to be on the Ryder Cup team.
I think he will, but before that, I want to just quickly visit this and get your take. You know, for the longest time, Rory was kind of the player of our generation, right, with these four majors, you know, because Spieth hadn't got there just yet and Brooks was tied. Brooks is the guy now. Five of all of them. Look, Rory's got more PGA Tour wins and more FedEx Cups and stuff, but this is how these guys measure themselves. So Brooks is the guy, and along that Ryder Cup conversation, Zach Johnson is going to have to give that side eye look if he's going to avoid Brooks Koepka for that team, because the way he played today, he just intimidates everybody he plays alongside. And tip your cap to Victor Hovland for hanging in there like he did. But Brooks has that aura. He has the aura of all those names, Kyle, that you read on that list.
Yeah.
They step on the tee with you and you're like, holy cow, there's Jack, and holy cow, there's Tom. Brooks is that guy.
Not Tom Kim.
Basically, a quarter of his wins are major championship wins, which is sick, one. And, you know, do you talk about the historical aspect, where it fits into the – it's always easy to be kind of like a prisoner of the moment here. Oh, but
that's all I do.
But it's – like you said, he's not done here.
Yeah.
which is the scary part.
I think two things. One, first of all, if he doesn't make the Ryder Cup team, then
it's a sham.
It cheapens that event, right? Like that makes that event less.
Look at you guys go.
Less than it would be otherwise. So forget about all that. He should be on the Ryder Cup team. He's been beaten by one guy in the first two majors.
Yeah.
That's never happened, and somebody didn't make the Ryder Cup. So it would cheapen that event. Number two, to Mark's point, here's what I want to see over the next 5 years. Somebody on Twitter said this. I can't remember who. We've got major-winning Brooks is back. I'd love to see 5 years of major-winning Rory back as well, because those guys, I think you can probably throw – DJ's a different age. He's a little bit older. Rory and Brooks are the same age. But those are kind of the three guys of this overlapping generation that are – that are the guys, you know, and you could, Spieth and JT are kind of in that. I don't know that they've done Spieth and JT haven't done as much as those three guys, especially at the major championships. But I want to see Rory and Brooks kind of go at it for the next 5-6 years and pick off a few more majors.
Any guesses of what Brooks's official world golf ranking will be on Monday morning?
16.
Okay.
What's he now?
I don't know.
I think he's, I don't know.
19.
13.
All right.
There you go. Victor Hovland played in that final group. And Mark, you said we got to tip our hat to Victor. He was engaged in a battle with Brooks all day long. He had a couple of putts that did not go his way. I'm thinking of number two, where he stuffed one in to that front right pin right after Brooks did it. Anything you can do, I can do better. Didn't make the putt. Brooks did. Mm-hmm. I think of a couple putts that certainly weren't gimmies, but they were opportunities in the middle of the round. And he was fully in it until 16.
But you speak of the putts that he missed. I want to highlight the one he slides down the hill on 5, the par 3, perfect speed and in.
Yeah.
Then I don't think it was 6, but he made a few other putts of consequence, mm-hmm. Just to keep himself in it. And then I think the big one where you have to look at him and say, look, good on you, man, was there on the par 5, 13.
Yeah.
Poor tee shot, okay?
Yeah.
Brooks has got the ascendancy right now after the birdie back there on 12. And Victor's got that slider down the hill that he buries at perfect speed and turns the tables on Brooks.
Yeah.
Then Brooks makes, retains the lead, hits it on the green on the next, and Victor gets this thing up and down from well right of the green,
right,
making like a 10-footer down the hill. Old Victor, and he's not very old, 25, Victor 1.0 didn't do that sort of stuff. Victor 1.0 didn't get it up and down out of greenside bunkers like he did this week. Victor certainly didn't get the thing up and down around the greens like he did this week. So even though he fell short, and he'll probably rue the thing tonight when he's with his buds and traveling home, I feel like Victor, if when he revisits this with his coach Joe Mayo and his advisors, they'll be like, this was a major step in the right direction.
Here's that disaster. Similar to what we saw Corey Connors do on Saturday, the fairway bunker at 16, ball below his feet, it was not a good lie, big clump of sand behind his ball, and he just drives it into the face of the bunker, KP. You gotta take a drop there. It's not a penalty. It's embedded ball relief, but you don't get a good – look at that. You don't get a good drop. He just tried to – he just advanced it down the fairway, and when the dust settles, it's a – 6.
Well, that was when the tournament ended, and he knew it. You know, I was having a conversation with somebody coming up 18, and I think out of his three top tens now at majors, he had the Open last year with Rory. He had Augusta this year, which was not – I mean, he led after the first round, right?
But that was kind of around,
yeah,
but it wasn't as neck deep as
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, that was kind of as close as he got. I think this will be the most heartbreaking. Yeah, yeah. I know it'll be the most heartbreaking, but – that's a good thing, right? Like I said this earlier this week. It feels like he's building toward winning a major. I don't know if LACC is the right place for him, but he could win at Hoylake, right? He could destroy at Hoylake. He could be awesome there. And I love his major championship trajectory, because a year ago, it wasn't necessarily the trajectory. He didn't have a top 10 at the majors, and now he's sort of building toward it in ways that, I don't know, some other guys that are his age maybe or not.
I will counter that and say the way he plays, I got to watch him play this week some, and I have over the last few weeks. He played beautifully at Pebble Beach in wet, moist, soft conditions. This place was major championship worthy. Augusta National, obviously. He is a player for all seasons right now. The way he hits it, the way the short game is. He's just got to, if he comes to an event playing well, I feel like he's going to contend just because of the completeness of his game right now.
Well, Mark mentioned Victor 1.0. We were kind of talking about that this week as well. He has new shots in the arsenal.
Yeah.
This bunker game.
Yeah.
Yeah. This bunker game where he can hit something that hops three times and stops. The ability to get up and down. He's making much more solid contact now. That is obviously the biggest weakness historically, and he's patching it.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, I was impressed. The reason I said Hoylake is somewhere that I could see him contending is that driving iron. Obviously, that's always been very good, but I loved it this week. He actually, as we were following him on, I don't know what his statistics, what his numbers are, but he didn't drive it particularly great as we were watching him on Sunday. But the iron play, I mean, he's not the best iron player in the world, but he certainly
feels like it.
Yeah, he was the best this week.
Yeah.
And he's certainly in the top, you know, 3, 4, 5 for this sort of window that we're looking at. I think major championship golf is a different thing than PGA Tour golf, Mark. And the way he's been playing in majors recently, forget about his PGA Tour play, but it's been super impressive.
Yeah, because he's confident, right? You don't go and do that stuff that he did today if you're not confident.
Yeah.
You don't stand up to a Brooks Koepka like he did if you didn't believe who you are and what you got. And to that, you talk about the short game, and I'm going to sort of golf nerd out a little bit right now. For the longest time, all of us in broadcast were critiquing the short game. Well-founded, he admitted as such. And he hooked up with a golf instructor, and the model they used for his short game stuff was that of Jose Maria Lothario, who is a wonderful chipper, great short game. And where most guys were telling Victor, you got to get more shallow in the approach, right? He was actually staying back too long and sort of drop kicking, grounding the ball. You speak of the contact, grounding the club before the ball in the bunkers. The stuff was putrid that he was hitting. The new instructor, Joe Mayo, said to him, hey, on your backswing, start moving forward with your head. Essentially, in golfers' terms, the club golfers, start reverse pivoting. So this got him on his lead side. The angle of attack steepened up, and he's got it all around the greens, including playing out a heavy rough like over here. So you talk about Hoylake, certainly. LACC, I believe he can go. And any sort of U.S. Open, this was ostensibly a U.S. Open test this week.
Yeah.
Watch out for him in future U.S. Opens, too.
The only guy this week to shoot 70 or better in all four rounds was Victor Hovland.
What block shoot today? 71?
71, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Michael blocked. I don't even know if we have enough time.
Blockchain.
Do we have even enough time to talk about?
I didn't get to see him a lot today because we were with the final few groups. Mark probably saw a ton of him.
The start of the round, yeah.
I saw Rory in the parking lot on the way over here. Here's the one. I'm just gonna lay out.
Yeah, he dunks it.
It didn't. They had to repair the cup.
Yeah, they did. Held our group up. Scotty Scheffler was making a charge. They had to fix the hole before he played the hole.
So just to be clear, Michael Block, who started 70-70-70 and is having the career, just absolute pinnacle of his career, as if that wasn't movie-worthy enough, he makes an ace on 15 and sends this place into a frenzy. We heard it from a mile away.
I mean, if you we had dinner almost every night, Rick. If you would have said last night at dinner, hey, Michael Block's going to play with Rory, make a one on 15, and make it into the PGA Championship next year. I mean, even with the week he was having, you wouldn't have believed it. I saw Rory in the parking lot back there. I said, how about that one? Like, what in the world? And he's like, listen, I told him, when it's your week, it is very much your week. And it was Michael Block's week. It was the week of his golfing life. And congrats to him. It was pretty extraordinary.
Hey, along those lines, so early in the round, I was with Rory and Michael Block, and he got off to a nervy start. He certainly did. Bogeyed the first after an errant tee shot, and Rory came out like Rory. And you could see Michael was sort of off kilter, but he never really gave up his mojo and then dug in, made a few good pars. And then I was moved up to Scotty Scheffler's group, right? And Scotty, we're going down 14, the somewhat drivable par 4. And we just hear this massive roar. And I look past the clubhouse, the chalets, I should say. And there are people throwing drinks and stuff in there. And everyone's going bananas. And Scotty walks up to me and he goes, what happened? And I'm like, apparently Block just made a hole in one. And he goes, you're kidding, right? I'm like, no, he really did. And the word is that the thing flew straight in the hole. And Ted Scott goes, He's just got to give up now. I mean, it does not get any better.
He's got to walk off exactly. after that. He should have just not even completed his round.
Didn't make a birdie today. The only hole he was under par was the eighth.
Was it the only eagle 15. This week, or was there another eagle?
No, because Peters had made an eagle, right?
There was none.
Cantlay made an eagle as
there
well.
There was none coming in to today, I don't think.
Cantlay had one today.
Okay.
All right. But get this, too. He'd never made an ace in competition. Pretty so you just save it for a major championship.
If
you sent me the script, I would have said two unrealistic. But
go and buy lottery tickets, Michael Block, if you're listening to this.
Yeah, we're going to continue this conversation. Lots more big boppers in the mix. We're going to say goodbye to you, KP. Thank you very much for joining us.
But hey, what a week.
What a week. We're going to continue this conversation about the PGA Championship after a quick break.
I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play, because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com. Okay. It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast. Back here still with Mark Immelman, but we're going to add another voice to the conversation as we watch, now a three-time PGA champion, Brooks Koepka, stuffed one close on number two. He would go on to roll that in an absolute great start. We're going to bring in Greg Ducharme here. Greg, welcome in. We've covered Brooks already, but I got to get your take on what you saw on this Sunday.
Oh, man. Well, first of all, what a week. I know you ended the last segment with that. I think it's a great thing to say because this was just absolutely incredible. And on Brooks Koepka, who I know you spoke about earlier, to me, this was all about handling bad breaks. And I know he didn't necessarily go into what he learned from Augusta National, but you think about some of the bad breaks he got in that final round on that final day at Augusta National. And they happened again this week. You know, two of his bogeys came from really, really challenging, difficult situations in the bunkers at both 7 and 11 that could have gone another way. And he handled them with grace, right? He handled them much better. He was not upset about them. He took what he had and was able to capitalize and, you know, kind of limit the damage. So I was really impressed with this kind of comeback story, which is very similar to what he did in 2019. You know, 2019, he had a great chance. You could argue gave away a Masters and came back and won the very next major at the PGA. So all the credit in the world to Brooks Koepka, because this was a major champion, major champion-like performance, and he is a very worthy champion.
Very worthy champion indeed. That shot he hit on 11 was sick. We were standing right there, and
sick, good.
Yeah, sick in a good way. Since we have the Ice of Fire with us, I think we should give an update on the PGA Championship fantasy game. And Greg, you were coming into Sunday as the leader for us. You were fourth overall. I can confirm that our 18-hole leader, our 36-hole leader, our 54-hole leader, Steel Daw 1, went wire to wire, won our PGA Fantasy Challenge with a team of Colin Morikawa, Patrick Cantlay, Victor Hovland, and Michael Block. But Greg, your team, Brooks Koepka, Scottie Scheffler, Tony Finau, and Matt Cahill, was actually upset by Patrick on Sunday. Oh. I'll give you his team in a second, but you came in second out of us.
I needed Michael Block. I needed to join the Block party, you know, yeah. And that's really ultimately what cost me. I know Tony Finau didn't have a great performance as well, but if I had the Block party in there, I would have been way higher up on the leaderboard. I was checking it out, Rick, and everybody near the top of this leaderboard in the entire group seemed to have Michael Block. They must have known something that I didn't, but boy, they nailed it, and I missed it. But all in all, hey, with having Koepka and Scheffler on there on my team, I'm happy with that.
Patrick finished 7th. Greg finished 12th. Kyle finished 43rd. Producer Josh finished 50th. And I brought up the rear, finishing 92nd. Not a good week.
That's unlike you.
That's
come on
unlike
now.
Me.
That is unlike you.
I will
you.
Get back on the horse and we'll try again next time. The Scottie Scheffler guy. I've heard of him. He is very good and he will rue his Saturday, Mark, because a 73, 3-over par played him out of this golf tournament. It was another late charge. He actually is going to end up finishing in a tie for 2nd this week, and he didn't really contend on Sunday because of that Saturday.
True. That's why you play 72 holes in big events.
Oh, that's true.
No, really it is. And every great champion will go through these moments of trial. And Greg referenced that with Koepka. And it was the same thing with Scotty, who got off to that horrid start on Saturday where he was basically like 4-over through 8 or whatever it was. But today he showed the champion that he was. He came out. He didn't have all of his game. He was having FaceTime lessons with his longtime instructor, Randy Smith, who is actually at home bedridden after back surgery. So having FaceTime lessons to try and find a little something, yet he did enough to make himself relevant, to post something, and at least make Brooks think a little bit. And there was a stage, because I was with Scotty's group during this final round, there was a stage, if the chip sort of fell his way, perhaps he could have closed that gap a little bit more, especially after hitting the flag stick on 14,
yeah,
making birdie, and then coming in, he hit a poor wedge, I thought, into 16, and that was a good look to try and make a birdie there. So, look, kudos, credit to him for manfully battling it out despite not having his best stuff.
Yeah, and that Sunday 65, there were a couple of 65s on Sunday. Scoring conditions were the best of the week, Greg, but that is going to tie with those other 65s the round of the week. So Scottie Scheffler gave us the Scottie Sunday we were looking for. It just wasn't quite enough to get the job done, because the problem is Scottie's graded on wins now, right? You finish T2, you don't get credit for that.
No, unfortunately for Scotty's elevated. Well, maybe it's fortunate. Fortunately, he's elevated himself to the position where it's just how many trophies are you holding up? But this is a 65 that you watch and you feel like it could have very easily been 63 or 62. But ultimately, for 3 of the 4 days, this was Scottie being Scottie, right? I mean, he ends up leading the field in strokes gained tee to green. Surprise, surprise, Rick. He's 2nd in strokes gained off the tee. And these kind of this ability from tee to green puts him in position where on these really difficult holes, like 16 that Mark alluded to, he's hitting gap wedge in there. And while for most of the field, getting a ball on the green in regulation on that hole is a win, for Scotty, it feels like a disappointment because it's not close. But that's because of his ability off the tee. So I look at what Scottie Scheffler did and in some really difficult conditions, which, by the way, it's something we haven't really seen him contend through challenging weather situations like that. I'm sure there are many learning opportunities, but ultimately in that Saturday round, this ball striking that has been so reliable was a little bit loose, and it was something that let him down. And, you know, a couple shots go just a little bit different. A couple putts fall, which, I mean, he didn't really make anything outside of 15 feet all week. You know, a couple of those go, he hits a couple better tee shots in the rain on Saturday, and he's right there with Brooks Koepka. So it really impressive stuff out of Scottie Scheffler, and you can bet that in the next two major championships and every event he plays in between, Scottie's going to be a part of the conversation because he's that reliable. He's just that good.
Brooks Koepka, 9 under par. That's your winning score. Scottie Scheffler, Victor Hovland, 7 under apiece. Then a gap mark. Nobody else until we get to Cam Davis, Kurt Kitayama, Bryson DeChambeau at 3 under. Are you surprised that there was this level of separation on the board on Sunday?
Not really, because the conversation amongst the players when we got here early in the week was like, how hard is this place? Then you start to poll players and you're like, what's a good score? And to a man, I heard stuff anywhere from 4 to 8 under. And I sort of settled on, we didn't know that the weather was going to come in as bad as what it did Saturday with all that rain. I was sort of settling on the fact that, okay, if you do 2 under around this place, you're likely going to win, which was very close to winning.
Right.
But it was the kind of test, this golf course, where if you were just marginally off, I mean, just marginally off, it was going to trip you up. And maybe you weren't going to sort of hemorrhage your way to death, but you're going to make a whole lot of bogeys and paper cut your way to kind of a bit of a gushing bleed, if you will. So I wasn't surprised at all. I was quite surprised that so many guys got it so far under. Yeah. But then again, kudos to Kerry Haig on the course setup, because they had it hard, and then it was challenging in the wet weather. And then for Sunday, they knew they were going to have a big crowd. There was beautiful weather out here, just enough wind to make you think, but they set up the whole location so folks could really get busy. And if you were playing well and striking the ball well, you could get after it, and certain folks did.
Those Sunday 65s include Cam Smith, Kurt Kitayama, Cam Davis, Scottie Scheffler, and friend of the pod, Sepp Straka. Hat tip to all those guys. Rory McIlroy here, Greg, got us all hot and bothered. He stuffs his approach on one to tap in birdie range, and we fled. We ran over there. We said, okay, it's happening. We got to see this. When Rory inevitably turns in 29, we've got to be there. He immediately gives it back on two with what Mark called a little wipey fade.
It was wipey and disastrous. Yeah. Now, I must say this. When I was there in the fairway, he hits his tee shot off the first and just absolutely pummels this 3-wood over the bunker, 290 in the air. And my spotter, Craig, looks at me and goes, sort of raises his eyes to go, isn't this the guy that was missing fairways all over the joint? And from there, I get a yardage. Craig looks at me and he goes, he's going to stiff this. Mm. I'm like, you know, I feel the same thing. And the next thing he nearly holes out, the place goes bananas. And I was like, here we go. And everyone kind of felt that thing. Hits it down the fairway on two and you think, now, wait a second. But there's this front right hole location. I remember because it was 3 paces on, 3 paces off the right-hand side. And in my head, I had crafted this beautiful short call that was going to be like, well, 3 on 3 from the right, maybe an omen for a 3, another birdie. But he wipes this wedge into a bunker and makes a bogey. And so then it kind of went downhill for a while.
So we had actually, the First Cut team had a rough go. You had a line that you didn't get to use. Kyle had a great meme that he did not get to deploy because of the results of the tournament. It would have broken the internet if the situation played out, but it did not. Greg, Rory McIlroy made plenty of birdies this week. That was not the problem. 4 more bogeys on the card, including number 4. That's a par 5 for Rory, and it was just too many crooked numbers to overcome.
Yeah, you look at it, wasn't just today, Rick. It was throughout the entire week. I mean, 3 of the 4 days, he made 4 bogeys, and that's too much to overcome. So you look at Rory and, you know, heading into this week, really after Masters, heading into Wells Fargo as well, it felt to me like the beginning of a new season. It felt like somebody who had taken a little bit of time off, and perhaps we were going to have a little bit of rust. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing. The talent, the ability level of Rory McIlroy allows for these wonderful shots, wonderful tee shots, like the three wood he hit at one, and the wedge that he hit in there really close are miraculous. But then there's the sloppy stuff, like the, you know, the miss to the right from 127 at two, the three putt at number four, even number 15, where Michael Block, his playing partner, nearly, you know, does hole it. Rory hits it down into that collection area from 150 yards and doesn't give himself an opportunity for birdie. So these are kind of the sloppy, loose swings that are costing Rory McIlroy right now. And that's the kind of stuff he has to clean up. But ultimately, I'm optimistic about Rory heading into this week. I didn't expect a performance to be this, full of emotion. And I didn't expect a performance where he was really going to give himself a legitimate chance. And after the first hole today, he had a legitimate chance. If he does go shoot that 29 on the front nine that you're so sure he's going to shoot, this tournament can start to feel and look very different. But unfortunately, the loose swings and some of those mistakes really end up costing him.
Greg, I'm with you. Last year, prior to this PGA, the one at Southern Hills, I had Justin Thomas at the AT&T Byron Nelson. And I remember him hitting a 5-wood down the 12th. It was a par 5 then. That this shot he hit it, and I was like, yo-hoes, it was one of those. And he was the reason why I decided to go with JT the following week at Southern Hills in one and done, which he turns out winning. Rory today hit a 4-iron into the 7th. That when he hit this thing, I actually went like, all right, it might not be consistent, because he mentioned that he feels good on the range in practice. It just wasn't translating to the course. But he picked this 5-iron. He launched this thing. It took off and just went. Actually flew it over the back of the green, turned into a bogey. But he hit it exactly on the button. And I was like, here we go. This is a really good sign, because all the other ball striking earlier in the week when I saw him was kind of unconvincing given his lofty standards. But that 4-iron, I was like, okay, it's real. It's coming back. And so I feel like things are boding well for McIlroy as we head into the summer.
It's real and it's spectacular from Rory McIlroy. Bryson DeChambeau, Greg, after opening with a Thursday 66 round of the day, finished with 71, 70, 70. If Major Championship Brooks is back, is Major Championship Bryson back?
Well, we definitely saw elite ability off the tee, right? I mean, he led the field in strokes gained off the tee this week. You saw some really good putting out of him. You saw some really good iron play out of him. Although the iron play did kind of diminish throughout the week. It went downhill a little bit after in each round after a really, really nice first round. But ultimately, this Bryson is looking much more steady, looking much more consistent, still has a ton of power. And it feels to me like Bryson's in a little bit of a strange place. Like he's not as comfortable coming back into the light the way Brooks Koepka is. And I think when Bryson can kind of get his, you know, own personal image under control and figure out what he really wants to be and what this is all about for him, I think you're going to see Bryson contend, because he is super talented. And this clubhead speed has, you know, even though he's not quite as big, it has not gone away. And on a setup like this, it's perfect for a Bryson DeChambeau. And I imagine LACC is going to be a very similar circumstance. So, you know, I do expect to see Bryson over the next couple of years remain in contention in these big events, because they're made for him. He's got an advantage out of the rough. And with his distance and his ability on the greens, he's a great putter as well. You know, that combination can be really hard to beat. I think Bryson's just got to get a little more confident with himself. And when he handles that, I think he'll be in a really good place.
Well, maybe that confidence you speak of, Greg, just a quick note, new golf instructor this week for Bryson DeChambeau. He was working with Chris Como for the longest time, but he's hooked up with a Californian guy named Dana Dahlquist, who I rate highly. So I don't know how much of what they were doing was a fundamental or like a philosophical sort of a change when it comes to the golf swing. New guy on the block for Bryson. So maybe there's a little running time they need to get in there to get things settled down to where he wants. But I would say it was off to a nice start.
Well, I have some breaking news, and I want to make sure we're able to cover this here.
This is terrible news.
It's terrible, but it is breaking. I have the updated one and done standings, and I don't have the picks in front of me, but I know about half of
Pick Brooks.
Yes, half of us picked Brooks, and when I say us, I do not mean you and I, Mark,
no.
who were sitting at the top. I have been caught not only by the fans, but by Kyle M. Sia has leapfrogged Greg, Kyle, and Patrick, and our pets' heads are falling off.
So Sia got a pick in on time, at least.
Got a pick in, and seemingly it was Brooks.
Yeah, look, Brooks was a good call this week, and I will be honest. Thursday, when Dustin Johnson played so well, and my guy Cameron Young. And listen, for the record, I had Cameron Young earmarked for this event. New York guy coming back to New York, golf course rebuilt, long rewards, a long driver. I was like, Cameron Young. But when I saw him play as poorly as what he did at Quail Hollow, I had my reservations. But I went ahead and stuck with it, which was a bit short-sighted. And I had my eye on Brooks a bit, but I was too unsure to really go with it, you know? And then when Dustin shoots whatever he did in the first round,
66 or
67.
Then
I'm thinking, ah, shucks. Now Rick, who had DJ, was going to be in decent shape, but DJ nearly finished as badly as my guy who had the weekend off.
I wanted to use Brooks, but I used him at the Masters, so I couldn't use him. And
I've still got him, by the way.
That's pretty good. Also, I knew DJ's, he gains like 4 strokes putting on Thursday, and I was like, this is going to go sideways for me, but I'm just hoping he can hold on. He could not. So here are now the updated standings, and they're getting pretty big here.
Who's
Mark,
yeah.
Asterix, 15.2.
You need to take that away.
I'm not in charge of that.
You are. You're the commissioner.
No.
Kyle, commissioner.
My limitations are, Kyle's not the commissioner. Yeah, well, that is true. Mark, no. 15.2 million. Kyle M, Magic Man, Kyle M, 13.6. The fans at 12.8. I'm at 12.7. Sia Najad, 10.3. Greg, 9.3. Kyle
wow.
Porter, 7.6. Patrick, 6.8. Greg, who'd you have this week?
Brooks Koepka. I've been in the cellar all year. And all of a sudden,
you still only have $9 million and you had Brooks this week?
Yes, I was in the cellar. I had 6.1 million heading into the week with a win. I had Justin Rose at the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. I mean, I had only missed one cut for the entire year. I mean, I've been playing some really good golf. I just haven't been turning in the scores, especially in the big events. But finally, I cracked the code. And I have gotten myself out of the cellar, and I am thrilled about it. So thank you, Brooks Koepka.
Thank you, Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
And thank you to...
Thank you very much.
All the hardworking people working behind the scenes to get this podcast out each and every day from Oak Hill. Big thanks to you, Greg Ducharme. Big thanks to you, Mark Immelman. And big thanks to you, the fans, tuning in every single week. First Cut Podcast will be back at it again next week for the Charles Schwab.
Yes, Colonial. Schwab, I'm going to be there. I'm Cowtown, great event.
Cowtown, Colonial. We'll see you there. Goodbye.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.